All right, folks. Tonight, our text for study is the last two verses in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. Lord willing, I have two more messages in chapter 21, and we'll be done with our study of the Gospel of John, which began the very beginning of January of last year, so a year and a half to go through this book. Two verses of Scripture tonight. Short on amount, quantity, but makes up for it with the quantity of material that is quite important to life. If you were to read verses 30 and 31, it would seem kind of disjoint from everything else. It's a totally separate thought, almost. I want to begin reading with verse 29, where we left off last week, and then I think chapter 20. And then you'll see why it is put where it is put. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, you remember Thomas was absent from the group on the day of the resurrection. And he said, I will not believe unless I have physical evidence of his resurrection. And a week later, there Jesus stands in the midst. And before he even gets a chance to touch him, he calls him my Lord and my God. And this is the response of Jesus to the declaration of Thomas's faith. You believe because you see, but blessed are they. Not that Thomas wasn't blessed in seeing Jesus, but blessed are they that have not seen and will not see and yet believe. The point Jesus is making here is that physical evidence, visual evidence, of the resurrection of Christ is not necessary for faith. Well, then what is? Verse 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Many other signs. The New Testament, specifically the Gospels, record 35 distinct miracles that Jesus performed in his earthly ministry. There is not one of the Gospel writers that records all 35. Matthew and Luke each record 20 of the miracles. Mark records 18. But John only records 7. There are other events in the life of Jesus that might be considered miraculous that aren't specifically called miracles. For example, the incarnation. Jesus didn't do a miracle in the incarnation, but certainly the incarnation was miraculous, being born of a virgin. The resurrection. Well, all three persons of the Godhead were involved in it. The post-resurrection appearances, there they are, as we read last week, they're in the room, the doors being shut, and suddenly Jesus appears. He comes right through the walls. Well, that's miraculous, but not called a miracle. His ascension up into heaven. Here he is, there he goes. You ever try that? Jump up in the air, we always come down. He didn't. That was miraculous, but we don't refer to it as a miracle. So there are at least 35 that are recorded. And there are other places where it says many miracles he did besides the specific ones listed. So how many miracles Jesus did is unknown specifically, but at least 35. And John is saying, even though there are more things that were written, these 7 are all that is necessary for a person to believe. Now, it's interesting in the scriptures, there is a number of different words that are used to describe the miraculous events. One of the words that is used often is the Greek word dunamis, which we get dynamite from. And oftentimes it's translated powers, because when dynamite was invented, it was thought at that time the most powerful thing on earth. And that's where the name comes from. And the miracles that were labeled dunamis were miracles that demonstrated the power of God. There are miracles that are termed or use the word wonders. That's exactly what they accomplished. They were, wow. I wonder how he did that. And basically, that was the idea of the thing. But the word sign here is the Greek word seimion. Whenever there's a sign, it is communicating a message of some sort. It may be visual. It may be something that's printed, a word or words or sentences. But a sign always communicates a message. John had seven signs in his gospel, each of them communicating a message. The first one is found in John chapter 2, where he changes the water into wine. The interesting thing about that is that the beginning, Mary's trying to tell him what to do. And when he gently rebukes her, she says to the people in charge there, whatever he tells you, do. It's an issue of authority. And these men did what Jesus told them to do, and miraculously the water changes into wine. So it's a demonstration that Jesus has authority to do these things. The second one, John chapter 4, is the healing of the nobleman's son. And if you remember, the nobleman heard that Jesus was in the area. He went to meet him and said, my son's at home. He's sick. He's about ready to die. Come to my house so that he might live. Jesus said, go your way. Your son lives. 20 miles away. The issue was Jesus' authority over distance. Jesus is in heaven right now. What authority does he have over the earth? He's way out there. Doesn't matter. Distance is never a problem. John chapter 5, the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. What was the issue? Well, whoever gets in first, we believe, will get healed. Because an angel's coming down, stirring the waters, and there has to be something miraculous in that. And my problem is, when the waters get stirred, I have no one to help me get in. A false belief. Myths. Fairy tales that were believed. Jesus said, you don't need to believe in these things, believe in me. Pick up thy bed and walk. And he did. John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. Can you imagine having 5,000 people to feed at once? And you have to do all the cooking. When you think about that, under normal circumstances, one person cooking for 5,000 people, all the food preparation that's necessary, of getting the food together, preparing it, cooking it, and then distributing it. How long would that take? And Jesus blesses it, and there they go. 5,000 people are fed. Do you ever think about people praying all over the world at the same time? How does Jesus hear all those prayers and get them right in the same way he could feed 5,000 in one shot? He has no problem hearing 5,000. That night, same chapter, John chapter 6, he sends the disciples out into the boat. There's a storm. He walks on the water to them, and he gets in the boat, and he speaks to the storm. The wind ceases. The waves are calm. nature. Who has authority over nature? We're living in a day and age where so many people are afraid that there's going to be some type of cataclysmic event where we are just going to ruin the environment and die. Not without God. Unless God says so, it ain't going to happen, no matter what we do. Now, does that mean we should just do whatever we please? No, we need to be good stewards of the environment that God gave us. But I don't have to live in fear that the ozone level is going to disappear. He proved that by speaking to nature. John chapter 9, there was the man that was born blind. And the disciples asked, who sinned that caused this physical deformity? What consequence does sin have? Is everything in the world reducible to cause and effect? Well, yeah, it is. But we may not know exactly what the cause is. They thought it was sin, effect, deformity. Jesus said, no, this happened so that the glory of God might be demonstrated. And I have the power to cancel sin. So much so that in John chapter 11, here's a man who had died because the wages of sin is death. And he was in the grave for 4 days, and his body was already decomposing, so much so that it was beginning to stink. Beyond hope, Jesus went to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that heard those words came forth. Jesus has the power over death. And then, Lord willing, next week in John chapter 21, the disciples are out once again fishing when they should have been waiting for Jesus. And he says to them, have you caught anything? And it was a bummer of the night. And he said, well, cast your nets over here. And they had such a miraculous catch of fish that they could barely haul it in. And Jesus is demonstrating that when you follow him, you can be productive in life. All those things were signs as to who Jesus was or is. And each one of them had an effect upon a person's faith. In John chapter 2, where he changes the water into wine, the disciples who just started following him, in verse 11 it says, and they believed him. Hey, this is the real deal. In John chapter 4, with the healing of the nobleman's son, when they got back and they determined when exactly the son got better, and it was exactly the same time that Jesus said, go thy way, thy son lives. It says his whole house believed. John chapter 5, the impotent man, simply by faith, got up and walked. But it also had a negative effect. When the Jews found out about it, they said, wait a minute. This man cannot be of God because no man would heal like that on the Sabbath. No man would tell you to pick up your bed. That's against our regulations. The feeding of the 5,000, and boy, they were excited about that, weren't they? Unfortunately, the faith was misguided. As they followed Jesus, he said, look, you came after me because you got a free lunch. That's why you're following me, not because you believe who I am, but you're looking to see what you can get out of me. When he walked on the water, his disciples were amazed beyond what they already believed about him and said, who is this guy who has the ability to control nature? Their faith became greater. The young man who was born blind created a stir amongst the Jews. And the Jews' antagonism towards Christ became greater. But there were some there that believed. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, verse 45 of chapter 11 says, and many of the Jews believed. They'd never seen anything like that before. And we'll see next week when the disciples, especially Peter, recognizes that it's Christ. Their faith once again grew. Every one of those miracles were a sign as to who Jesus was. And every one of those miracles had the ability to alter a person's faith or lack thereof. These are written that you might believe. Unfortunately, there's a problem in the world today. Show of hands. How many people here have actually seen, visibly seen, really seen, not in the mind's eye, but in the physical eye, seen Jesus Christ? You know why? He's in heaven. Heaven is beyond created universe. It's farther than the eye can see. Now, there were some unique experiences in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul saw Christ. Stephen saw Christ. Just two. That's it. And since then, no one has seen Christ. But yet we have many today that say a person needs miracles to come to faith. If only a person could perform a miracle, then the person who sees the miracle would have no other recourse than to believe. And we have all these people seeking to do miracles, which, by the way, aren't happening. But what does John say? Well, he records Jesus' words. Blessed are they who have not seen, but they've read, because these are written. Now, maybe they've heard somebody reading these things, but nonetheless, it comes from a written experience of the miracles, not a visual one. And consequently, people have the ability to believe simply by reading what Jesus did. Interesting, verse 31, these are written that you might believe. And then the end of the verse, and that believing you might have life through his name. Interesting, in the original language, the first word believe is an aorist tense, meaning belief in a single activity, a point in time. These are written that you might at one point in time make a decision to trust Christ. But a decision that eventuates in the second believing, which is a present tense, which means a continuous activity. Once a person has made a declaration of faith, genuine declaration, the real deal, they believe on Jesus Christ, there's a lifetime of faith. They are believing. Some people say, well, I once believed, but I don't believe anymore. Well, the fact of the matter is, according to this verse, if you're not believing now, you never did. It's a one-time act of faith, a genuine act of faith that starts a whole lifetime of believing. These are written that you might believe. The miracles had the same effect on the people that witnessed them. Some believed, some didn't believe. Simply by seeing a miracle or reading about a miracle does not in and of itself mean a person is saved. It is the faith and not in the miracle. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life. Literally, the Greek text reads, in his name. I was reading one commentary in preparation for tonight, and the author of the commentary is a man that I greatly appreciate, but he said something that I said, nope, you got that one wrong. He said a lot of people, when he was talking about eternal life, will have eternal life in hell. No, they will not have eternal life in hell. They will have eternal existence in hell. Revelation tells us that in the lake of fire, they are suffering the second death, not life. Now, this person was making the point that the emphasis here was not on the longevity of it, and I agree with him on that. It is on the quality of life. It is a person who believes in an act which issues a continuation of faith for a lifetime has the quality of life that is found in God. And that life is found in the name of Jesus Christ, who did all these things and demonstrated to us who he was. Well, that brings us to the question is, what do you need to believe about Jesus Christ? And that's found right in the middle of the verse, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Ha Christos. Ha Wiu Tu Theu, the Son of God. The first deals with his mission, his activity. He is the anointed one. Anointed for what? Well, anyone that was anointed in Scripture was anointed for a purpose of accomplishing a task for God. Whether it be a person or whether it be the instruments found in the temple that were anointed. They were anointed for the purpose of accomplishing a task. Jesus was the anointed one. He was sent from the Father to accomplish a task. And all through the Scriptures, we see him doing the will of God. And in the Scriptures, his authority to do these things is demonstrated by these miracles. His miracle over the man born blind and the issue of sin and death from sin. And how was he to do that? He would go to Calvary's cross, there bear our sins in his own body, and die. That's what the anointed one came to do. But then he's also called the Son of God. In the Greek language, there's a couple of words that can be translated son. The generic one is technon. Usually it's translated children. But sometimes, if it's a male child, it will be translated son. But that's not this word. This is the word weos. Weos is always son, meaning one who has the characteristics of its quote-unquote father. For example, the Antichrist is called the son of perdition. That does not mean that a person named perdition generated a physical being called the Antichrist. It means that the Antichrist has the characteristics of the nature of perdition or lawlessness. That's what the word son has reference to. So when he's talking about the Son of God, he's talking about the one who has all the attributes, the characteristics of God. Not a good man that became great. Not just a moral teacher. Not just a worker of miracles. But God himself. You see, and that's why there are a number of religious beliefs that aren't saving. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, Mormons will get around it by saying, well, he was a man who became a god. And that's what we're all in the process of becoming. We're becoming gods. And Jehovah, the Father, was once a person just like you and I, and he became a god. And one of these days, we're going to go off and populate some other universe out of there, and we're all going to be little gods. No, that's not true. It just isn't it. And Jehovah's Witnesses will say that Jesus was the first created being of God, and that he therefore created everything else. No. He was not the first created being. He wasn't created at all. He's the eternal God. He is the Son of God. He has all the characteristics that make God unique. And when a person doesn't believe in the deity of Christ, or sometimes they believe in the deity of Christ but not his mission, you have to have both. Then when they believe on that, they have eternal life. Well, where does this life come from? Well, it comes from the Word of God. These things are written. This brings me to application. If life comes from the Word of God, and it's one act of believing that initiates a whole life of believing, wouldn't it make sense that the more I take in of the Word of God, the greater that life becomes within me? That makes sense? I read some very discouraging statistics on Friday. Got a new book for my daughter for Father's Day. It's called Global Reset. It's written by Mark Hitchcock, who is a prophetic writer. Very good. And in it he says this. A survey was conducted, and it was found that most people spend, on average, 2 hours a day on social media. Facebook, Twitter, that type of thing. 2 hours a day. On average, people spend a little bit greater than 5 hours a day checking their cell phones. As many as 63 times a day. A survey was done amongst Christians. And they were asked, how often do you read your Bible? Less than 9% said they do it on a daily basis. And that being less than the amount of hours spent checking social media and their cell phones. Why is it that the church is in such poor shape spiritually today? Because we're on Facebook checking our cell phones, which cannot produce life, and our nose is not in the book. For these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. Now, what's interesting, one more thing, and then I close. John wrote this. He also wrote a couple of epistles. In John chapter, or 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he wrote something that was very, very similar to this. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on his name. This is written that you might believe. 1 John is written to those who did believe. This has an aorist verb and then a present tense verb. John has. Those of you who have believed, aorist, that you might believe, present tense. Christian life doesn't end the day you trust Christ. Oh, I trusted Christ. That's all I need to do. No, yes, but no. All you need to do for salvation, but to enjoy the benefits of that salvation. If the Word of God brought you life, how much more taking it in will life become greater? God help us to be people whose nose is in the book and the book is in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, encourage us tonight with these words. May we be found faithful, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the one who came and loved us and went to Calvary's cross and there died for us, that we might have life and life more abundantly. We pray in his name. Amen. Have a good week.